Good morning, Veritas. We're glad that you've joined us. We are in a little mini-series. Before we do get back into our regular routine of just teaching through books of the Bible, and we are introducing ourselves to you. So Veritas Church, our mission is to make disciples who celebrate, connect, and contribute. A disciple is an apprentice, someone who learns and follows Jesus. And so that's our agenda for you as a church. That's what we want to accomplish, is to help you become a learning follower of Jesus. So this morning we are talking about our second C, connect. So our culture is fascinated with survival shows. And I don't know, can we get the lights on? I don't know who's rocking the lights this morning, but let's do that. So anyway, this our culture is obsessed with survival shows. And there's a show that our family loves called Alone. You guys ever seen that? Basically, what they do is the contestants, they drop them off in the wilderness with a bunch of video cameras, and they film themselves surviving. And whoever survives the longest wins. And it's hilarious watching these people freak out as the bears like surround their tent and they're trying to scare off the bears, or they encounter just the noises of the darkness. And you know, one guy was drinking bad water and got kind of loopy and you know, is filming himself. And it was just kind of hilarious, the different things that these guys encounter. But here's the crazy thing. What you learn through the show. The hardest aspect of surviving by yourself is what? Is being by yourself. The hardest part about surviving in the wilderness is being alone. And all you have is yourself and your own thoughts. And you know, it's interesting because we have to ask this, we have to answer this question. Why are we here? Like, why are we here on planet Earth? You know, you can study science and study liberal arts. You can study whatever you want and look at the universe. And, you know, scientists, they can look at what is happening, right? But they can never answer the question, why is it happening? Why are we here? Not just to wake up, you know, get an education so you can get a job or whatever, just going through life. Why are we here? Why did God put us here? There's a guy that, this fascinating book that I read by John Krakauer called Into the Wild about Christopher McCandless. They made a movie about it. But one of the last things that this guy just had this wanderlust, wanted to experience life that is truly life. So he actually went to Alaska in the wilderness and lived all by himself, and he actually starved to death. He died in this abandoned bus. But one of the last things that he wrote down before he died was this: happiness is only real when shared. That was his big lesson from being alone. Happiness is only real when it's shared. And I thought, wow, that is a clue to the meaning of the universe. Why do we have this need to be with people, to be in community? It's almost like we cannot experience the life that we are intended for without community. And Drew mentioned it. God created the world not because he was lonely. God doesn't have a personal testimony. I was just living my life forever, and I just had this hole in my heart. And then I created humankind, and my life has been fulfilled ever since. I just have purpose in life. No! God didn't create the world because he is lonely. In fact, God is himself a community. God was never alone. He was always Father, Son, Holy Spirit from all of eternity profound mystery, but God's like, yeah, eternity was a long time until I got connected. I joined a connection group and it just fulfilled my desires. No, God is a connection group, right? He's the perfect unity. And for all of eternity, God enjoyed this perfect union and with himself. And so we see that God created us as an overflow of his community, but not just his community, out of his infinite happiness, the infinite joy that comes from being in relationship. God, it's like Jonathan Edwards, one of these theologians, he said, it's like God, why did God create the world? It's like just as a fountain is inclined to overflow, so water, you know, so God just erupted in this creation. It was just an overflow of the infinite joy of God. And so we were created for joy. Last week was celebrate. God is awesome. He's calling us into the joy. But this joy and happiness is meant to be shared. We are created for one another. We are hardwired for community. So this morning, we're talking about our second C, connect. We're going to be studying Ephesians here in a couple weeks. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible, but this morning I'm going to do just a quick flyover. So you might be a little disappointed. It's like I've flown over New York before, but I've never actually been in New York, but it was amazing. Like, look at all, it looked like a toy city. That's kind of what we're going to do with Ephesians. We're just going to fly over it. So you might be frustrated because you want a touchdown, but we're just going to see the big picture. And Ephesians is a book about the church, this thing that God is doing. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Paul says this. God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about how huge that statement was. God's purpose was that now, through the church, he would display his manifold wisdom. The church is God's brilliant idea, and some of it, it's like his best idea was the church. And some of you guys are thinking, wow, that's the best he could do? Because some of you guys, your experience of church is like, tell me about church. You're like, it's long, it's boring, I have better things to do, right? Or some of you, it might be worse than boring. You might be like, oh yeah, that's the place where I got hurt. I don't ever want to go back there. So how could church be God's brilliant idea and the thing that displays his infinite wisdom? Well, Ephesians has this thread throughout. It's a word picture of why the church is God's brilliant idea. And I want to just unpack this word picture for you, this metaphor that Paul gives. The book of Ephesians starts in verse 2. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, he says, whenever you pray, this should be like the first words off of your mouth. Our Father. Jesus is saying, when you interact with God, the most fundamental reality about who God is and who you are before God is he is a father and you are his child. So I ask you the question, who are you? I'm Mark Arendt. I'm the most important thing Jesus wants us to know is I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. That's an amazing reality. And so we see, here's the metaphor, here's the word picture that Paul gives us to think about the church. The church is a family. The church is a family. So the Bible calls this process of becoming a Christian being born again. Jesus says this in John 3. You can go look it up later. He's talking to this religious guy. And this religious guy has been to church, actually synagogue back then, this Jewish man. He's been through religion his whole life. He is an expert in the Bible. And he says, how can I get to heaven? And Jesus says, you cannot get to heaven without being born again. And this guy's like, that's weird. How do I go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus is like, no, 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 you don't understand. You're a religion expert and you don't understand this? He's like, your inner self has to be completely transformed to the point where it's like being born over again. God has to give you a spiritual birth. You know, I hear people say, I say, how long have you been a Christian? He said, I was born a Christian. Jesus would say, that's impossible. It's impossible to be born a Christian. Christianity is something you have to be born again into. You have to come to the point in your life where you realize your need for Jesus, you recognize what he's done for you on the cross, and you personally transfer your trust to Jesus. You repent of your sins, you embrace Jesus, and you will be born again, a spiritual birth. What's the first thing God does after he gives you spiritual birth? Does he zap you up into heaven? Hopefully not, because we're all still here. Okay, that would mean none of us are born again. So that's not what he does. Does he say, good luck. It's a mess down there, but I'll be coming in a little bit, similar to how I drop my kids off at public school. Be like, it's gonna be rough in there. The school lunchroom, the school bus. One of my kids was like, Dad, he's like, don't worry about it. I pretty much got all the cuss words down because of the school bus. He's like, except I don't know all the B words. I'm like, all the B words. Oh yeah, that's because he said some kid used the B word and I said, which one? He's like, well, I don't know which one. There's more than one? I'm like, yep, there's more than one. So anyway, is that what God does? He's like, good luck. Waves to us as we get on the bus and live our lives and is like, I'll be picking you up at 3:20. Only he doesn't tell us. He just says, it's gonna be a while. I'll be back. Good luck. No. What's the first thing God does to a person when they are born again? He puts them in a family. The church. We have in our minds a lot of things when we think about church. You know, I think one of my jobs as a pastor is to deconstruct people's view of church. Because they're like, oh yeah, yeah, I don't want Jesus. I'm not into organized religion. I'm like, oh, you'll love our church. We're not organized at all, okay? We're just like, organized religion is someone's experience. Like, if you've rejected Jesus because of your experience of organized religion, you actually haven't rejected Jesus because you don't know who he is yet. It's okay to reject church, that expression of church. Some of you, it's maybe like you picture a church as a building. Like, I'm having a hard time with Veritas. They don't have a church. Okay, this word that Paul uses, church, it's ekklesia. It means to be called out for a purpose. The church is a called out group of people. It's a called out family. And there's a real danger. Some people think of church as organized religion. Some think of it as a building. But I think a more dangerous temptation for most of us in this room is to treat church like a corporation or a business. And to interact with church like we are consumers and the church is the business that provides goods and services for us. And how destructive that is when we view church in this way. I try out all these churches and I go to the one that's like super Walmart, Costco, like it meets all my needs. And businesses exist to meet the needs of its customers, right? And that's okay in business. I feel no shame about being a consumer when I walk into a store, right? I shop at Walmart, I shop at Aldi because it's cheap, right? But as soon as the Grow campaign's over, I'm going back to Target and Costco, right? Because I like it better. But I don't feel any loyalty to Walmart like, oh man, I'm just gonna let them down. The Walton family, man, I'm just like, I feel no loyalty to them. I'm just a consumer. I walk in, I walk out, I pick where I shop. Guess what, church? You can pick where you shop, but you don't pick your family. And that's what's so beautiful about this thing. It's like, we're this community of God. Like, who brought us this together this morning? God did. The person sitting in your chair is not here by accident. God brought you here. And you may be a part of the family. You may actually not be a part of the family. God wants you to be. Okay, welcome to Veritas. We hope that we can become a church family to you. But here's the point. Church is a family. It's not a product to be consumed. It's a family to be a part of. And so our job as a church is not to create all these programs that perfectly meet all your needs. Our job is to get you into relationship with each other. On the front end of our church, I used to say this all the time. I was an arrogant 33-year-old church planner, so I don't say it as often anymore, but I thought about making this our tagline. Veritas Church, you name it, we don't do it. What are you passionate about? I'm passionate about men's ministry. We just gotta get a men's ministry. Oh, don't do that. I need divorce care. You got divorce care? Nope, don't do that either. Children's ministry? Not really. Youth ministry? Not really. You know, because a church plan is kind of a breeding ground for people with an agenda, right? You know, the person comes in and they want to unroll all their scrolls of how the end times is going to play out. And we're like, yeah, don't do that either, right? We're not here for your agenda. We're not here just to meet all your needs. We are here to get you into relationship. And we do programs, right? I mean, the purpose of the programs is for relationship. But we want to stay focused on who we are. And who we are is a people that help you get connected to your family. Do you see yourself this morning as a part of the Veritas family? Or are you a consumer of Veritas Church? One of the reasons we do connection groups, this is a great context for worship, for listening to the Bible being preached. This is a terrible environment to really get to know one another. 800 chairs facing forward is not the best environment. And most of you, a lot of you, half of you, in theory, are introverts, right? And this actually kind of freaks you out. You may hate that meet and greet time. You may come late every week because you don't want to meet and greet. and you loved this week because it was like, meet someone. Drew comes up and starts talking. Please have a seat. You're like, whew, right? And you know what? This is a bad place for most people to express their spiritual gifts. Is we're like, are you a dynamic teacher or preacher? Okay, we've got Sunday morning. We've got like two spots open on Sunday morning. Veritas Kids, we need a few teachers for the classrooms. And we're like, okay, you don't preach or teach. Do you sing? We've got a few places for singers or musicians. Okay, you don't do that. Let's see, you have no other discernible spiritual gifts. How about be a parking attendant, right? Or just volunteer in Veritas Kids, or stand by the door and welcome people, right? This is not the best context. What if your gift is mercy? And when someone's struggling, you're just the kind of person that likes to encourage people when they're down. Or someone in your group, you find out they've got a family member that's coming to the University of Iowa Hospital. And your gift is to show up and to take care of them. You guys, the spiritual gifts are best expressed in smaller communities where we're in each other's lives. Some of you have gifts like prophetic gifts, Paul even says, where that ability to speak a timely word, something that's not scripted or planned, but someone shares something, you're like, I just want to speak this into your life and share something encouraging. We want you to be a part of the Veritas family, and we think that a connection group will be the best next step for you to do that, to be a part. We want you to be known. We want you to be loved. And this is not the best environment for that. You can walk in and out of this group of 700 people, and maybe no one will ever notice. But it's going to be hard for you to walk into a group of 10 to 14 people and walk out and not be noticed, right? Someone's going to notice. And someone say, hey, where did Jim go? Let's call him. How are you doing? That kind of thing. So here's a question. Why does God give us a family? The church is a family. Why does he give us a family? Look at chapter 4, verse 11. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Yeah, here's what he's saying. God gave the church leaders that have various gifts. Why? Verse 12. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Become mature, he says, attaining to the whole measure of all the fullness of Christ. Listen to verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Here's what God is saying to us. Why do you need a family? You need a family to grow. The most essential factor in human growth and development is a family. And when the family breaks down, so does a person, and so does a society. And so much of the systemic evil and brokenness in our culture is directly connected to the breakdown of the family. And here is our agenda for you. Here is our mission as a church. Unashamedly, we have an agenda for you. Here's what it is. We want to help you to mature, to become more like Jesus Christ. The word Christian means little Christ. We want to help you become more and more like Jesus. We say this all the time. This is a come as you are church, but it's not a stay as you are church. Jesus said, make disciples, baptizing them. And he said, and teach them to obey all I've commanded you. Jesus has given you a family so that you will grow up in your faith. Let's look at verse 16. It says, from Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Here's the third thing about family. Every person in a family matters and has a role. Our family was at the Iowa State Fair, and our, I think at the time, three-year-old ran off, and we couldn't find them. They were gone. You know what I didn't say? Oh, well, I got five others. Like, no! Where's Makai? He's gone. And so we're running around and we found him. He was with a couple old ladies, like pretty far away from where we were. It's like, oh, I found him, because our family is not our family without Makai, without any of our children. It's like, this is our family. And everyone in our family has a role. And my wife is really good at teaching each of our kids, our four-year-old. We put, like, where the dishes are, we put them in a little shelf right by the dishwasher. So she goes and takes out all the sharp knives, and then our four-year-old puts away all the dishes, learns how to unload the dishwasher, because we run our family like a camp. You know, it's like, everybody's got a role. You're wiping down the tables here, you know, because we would just not be able to function if we didn't. So that is like the church family. Everyone has a role. You know, it says in verse 11, the role of the leadership is to equip people for works of service. You know, a family has a mom and a dad, right? Because, and their role is not to be a counselor to their kids. Their role is not to be a buddy to their kids. Their role is to help their kids grow up to become adults. And we believe that in Connection Group, that's where you can learn more about how to use your spiritual gifts and to play your part in the family. We are not okay with just attendance. Our vision is not more seats, more people. I mean, we're excited about that to the extent that it helps people encounter Jesus and grow up in their faith in him. Everyone in the family has a role, to the point where Paul says we're like a body and every single part of the body matters, and we grow as, it says, as every ligament does its role. We're like a body. We need every person in this room, and we go as a church as you go. And if you're on the sideline and you're not connected and you're not using your gifts, then we are not who God has called us to be yet. So jump in, be a part. The last point I want to make is this from verse 16. From Christ, he says, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love. Here's the last point. Family is messy and requires love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this. He was a pastor, theologian that died in Nazi Germany, was killed. He said this in his book, Life Together. The person who loves their idea of community destroys community. But the person who loves people builds community. Guys, I want to be careful not to oversell you on connection groups. Like, join a connection group. It's going to be awesome. Guys, it might not be. okay? There might be someone in the group that is just annoying, and you don't want to be a connection group because they are there. And sometimes that person is you, okay? Sometimes that person is me. I know that I'm that guy because I'm the guy like the always have a Bible answer guy, the insensitive remarks guy. You come and you share it. I'm like, I know how to fix that. Memorize this verse and you'll be good. And you're like, ugh, I hate that guy. We don't want to oversell you. That would be like telling a newly married couple, man, you should totally have kids because it'll make your life way more fun. Here's a newsflash. Messes, sleepless nights. That's what it means to parent infants and toddlers and teenagers, right? I wish that I could fix the tears and sleepless nights with changing a poopy diaper, okay, and some milk. But what I'm saying is kids are worth it. There's messes, but kids are worth it because messes mean there's children. And children mean people are growing up. And in Veritas Church, we have a lot of messes, but it's okay. Because family is where babies become adults. And you know, the saddest day in our house is gonna be the day when there are no more messes. That will mean the kids are gone. So I hope in Veritas, we can embrace the messes because Paul says, we're gonna have to build ourselves up in love. We're gonna have to get over our idea of community. It's gonna be me and my best friends and we're gonna do life together. It's gonna be organic. Forget organic, okay? Here's what organic is. Poop, all right? That's what organic is. And sometimes that's what it's like. So we're a family. God has called us to be in a family because he wants to grow us up. Every person in our family matters. You have a special role in our church. Family's gonna be messy, but that's okay. Happiness is why we're here. The chief end of man is to glorify God, enjoy him forever. Happiness is why we're here, to enjoy God. But happiness is only real when it's shared. We hope that you will jump into a connection group and be a part of the Veritas family. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a good, good father. And God, if there's anyone here this morning that's just feeling hopeless, maybe wondering why they're here, what's their purpose in life, God, I pray that you would just speak those words into their heart. You are my child, and I love you. That's why you're here. You're here for joy, and you're here for community. God, help us as a church not to function like a business, but to be the family that you've called us to be in this community. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.